many, 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 man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've got many reasons to praise him. Amen. This is a day that the Lord has made, brand new, never been used before. And we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I'm saying a whole lot of praise the Lord. You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, I pray for the saints down in Louisiana. I know there's some. I know one in particularly, and I know there are others. And, amen, I'm praying for them that they, amen, that they grow in faith. Amen, that they be not dissuaded, because these are going to be challenging times. These are the last or the end of days, as we know it. Amen, when we on the clock. Amen. Give me an honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. The Father, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Pastor O, my producer, and his lovely wife, and my saints and friends that are running for Christ Ministries. Amen. And amen. Action for God. And amen. And Renaissance Christian Center. And amen. My brothers and sisters from Word of Faith and Great Faith. Amen. I say praise the Lord. Even those down there in Jamaica, if you're hearing this, amen. Hallelujah. They're facing them challenges of them storms. You know, this is a challenging time, but it is what it is. It shouldn't be a surprise to us. Amen. We should know about this and have expected it. But, amen, there's some things we could do about it. Let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you and we do bless your holy, righteous, glorious name, because you are our Father, and we thank you for the benefits and privileges that you paid for with the life of your own Son Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the precious Holy Ghost in your word, amen, which is the path of righteousness, amen, that will lead us to eternity with you. There is no way but your way. Father God, I ask that you would bless each and every one of us listening, Lord, that you would increase the spirit of our wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, blessing the eyes of our understanding more to get, so that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of your glory, and the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power you've made available for us to submit and obey you. Father God, I ask that you would strengthen us with might in our inner man, particularly those that are facing the many challenges that are thrust upon us today. Amen. Hallelujah. And Father God, we're praying for the saints in Tennessee, likewise, that are cleaning up, amen, after a storm, and they're yet facing another one. Father God, we're asking that you would bless them with the revelation that they need. And Father God, I ask that you would give us the knowledge of your will and the strength and the courage to carry it out, so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of you. And bless us even now to grow in the knowledge of you. And this we say, we thank you in Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's something, my pastor and other men of God have said that not only is it sad, as bad as it is, it's not going to get better until Jesus comes back. It's gonna increase. Jesus said these things would come. I mean, when he used the word pestilences, which was diseases, he meant that in multiples. And what is happening isn't really, you know, I heard a message, obviously preached by my pastor, about judgment, justice and judgment. And the one thing about judgment is it depends on where you are. It depends. If you're walking upright with God, the judgment for you is not guilty. But if you're not, then it's guilty. And what comes with that is you are if you're in the body of Christ, you are unable to access the power of God to defend yourself. You know, it's far past being religious. Okay, this thing's about, as I've been telling you, and I'm not the first one to preach this message. It's just that I guess at my level, I'm not in China, so they're not gonna throw me in jail. And I want to try something if they do spiritually. All right. And I remember the last man of God that taught on this, and I was astounded at the negative response that he encountered. And it really pretty much destroyed a thriving ministry. But what I saw was God saying, okay, y'all don't want to hear that? You ain't going to hear nothing. And that's what been, but it went on. Because in his ministry, I was at one of his meetings, and I had never, I learned a lot by being there. I'm not going to say his name, but I was there. Well, you know, maybe I will. His name was Benny Hinn. And when I first saw him, I was a little, you know, leery about him. Because if you saw him on TV, if you didn't really pay attention to detail, you was a little lost at what went on. But he had a book out called Good Morning, Holy Spirit, which I recommend everybody get. Because the whole point of it is to become more conscious of God. You know, and when he began to teach about the God man, there was people that disturbed. I heard it. I'm like, really? I mean, he was always talking about God with a little G. I mean, it's obviously. It does not ring in the ears of Christians right now when I say that Adam was, he made him perfect, but it wasn't going to stay that way. Jesus was part of the process. Because in order, if you can't control 100% of the environment at all times, you can't be God. People upset with who's that. You know, I would hear the arguments years ago before I got to Titus, and he said, don't argue with nobody. You know, and I quit. Because I didn't understand why people struggle with the fact of who Jesus was. God, man, it says it plain as day, God manifest in the flesh. It says it plain as day, and the word became flesh. I mean, what do you need? A trial, a jury? But see, we're talking about something far beyond man's capacity, far beyond. And if you resist learning, you're just putting yourself back to kindergarten. That's all it is. And so now we're having, anyway, today I'm going to finish, as far as I know, the final phases of rapture or retribution. Now, understand at the point of the rapture, we go on holiday 7 years long. And I am pretty sure that during that time, God will allow us, for whatever it's worth, intergalactic space travel, which we won't even need a vehicle. I mean, really. You got to understand. See, young saints, you got to understand. It's three things that describe, three words that describe God in him and him only. And if they can't meet that standard, then they're not God. And it's, you know, anything outside of God pretty much that is called to be worshipped is the devil. I'm just being plain. You don't have time for foolishness. This is the time to get it right, or you may not have no rights. Because you'll be right in the place, when they call it the hot place. But listen, God has made this, so it's practically impossible not to make it. All right? God is omniscient. That means he knows everything there is to be known. In time, space, whatever you come up with, he already knows. This day, me talking right now, was in his knowledge, in the fullness. And he knew this day was going to come. He knew what was going to be the outcome before I got here. Okay? This is why there's such a big issue over the issue of abortion. That began in a life begins in the heart of God, not in the body of a woman. It can't get here unless God sent it, allow it to come. It's got to come from one dimension into another. Think about what transpired. See, the link all the way back to Adam came from the breath of God. Okay, then he's omnipotent. Now, that's the part that throws people out. That means he can do anything, but then people wonder, if he can do anything, why is it such a mess? Well, the Bible lays out his plans, and this was not planned. It was not planned to have heaven on this earth at this time. When Jesus come back, it will be, but not until then. See, you're a spirit with a mind, will, and emotion, and you live in a body, and you really have very little understanding of what that is. We do. Our generation is the first generation to get a good inside look at mankind at the molecular level. The other generation surmised it, but they never had the technology that actually allow them to see it. See, I've actually seen pictures of my flesh magnified to the point that you can clearly see that it's just a bunch of cells gathered together. I mean, think about where we are in technology. So there's no more argument over that issue, whether or not, you know, what the body is. The body is a housing for your spirit. Amen. Your mind with an emotion describe all that activity. Your mind is a focus. That's how I see it. Your will is the energy you apply. And then will, like I talked about, the will of God, that's the intentions of God. So your will is your intention. That's the actions. And, of course, emotions is your evaluation of what's going on at the time. All right? But we're learning this. See, Jesus had this fully understood. This is why no matter what they did, he didn't lose it. He said, I believe in Matthew 26:53, when they was arresting him, he said, man, I can call 12 legions of angels, wipe y'all out. It don't even take 12 legions. Because I believe in the book of Kings, book of Chronicles, it took one angel, took out 186,000 men. They only sent a band after Jesus. They didn't send no whole legion after Jesus. He took out legions, one angel, without sweating. Okay? And again, see, and I'm going through all this intro because you need to bring the facts together of why. Because in these last days, you know, as I watched the floods in Louisiana, I'm sitting there wondering it. How do people wonder how come they can't get that rain that's flooding Louisiana into California where they need it? Well, I'm of the mind that somebody ain't really asking or they don't qualify. See, all of God's promises come with conditions, okay? You can't be racist, hatred. You got to love everybody. You can't be a robber of God. Okay, I mean, the facts speak for themselves. And particularly, you have to be conscious of what comes out of your mouth because that takes authority. That's big. You got to be in pursuit of the will of God. Now, that means, you know, you got to be willing to allow God to change your behavior about everything according and put it in alignment with his word. Then there's the pursuit. Then there is the will of God specifically. You know, are you where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, saying what you want? Do you work where he wants you to work, or do you work where you want to work? Because if it's an issue of money, I mean, you have to, I can't tell you that. God has to tell you that. All right. So now we're going to look at some of the final signs, which is kind of easy to see, of the last days, in the days. But I was going to go over this issue of, I keep getting this thing about the book of Enoch. Listen, for the young folk, let me tell you, the book of Enoch is all it is, a story about angels that were corrupt. Okay, this is the key. In Isaiah chapter 28. Matter of fact, I'm not going to quote it. I want you to read it. I want you to get it. This was one of my earliest teachings when I was a young buck minister years ago, back in the late 70s and 80s, when all your Bible classes was at the back of the church for the ministers. Anyway, and the thing about it is God has, see, God constructed the Bible in Isaiah chapter 28:9, God put the Bible together. He oversaw the Bible. He oversaw, he made sure that it was written the way he wanted it written, okay? And it says in verse 9, it says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand the doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Okay, now, for with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. Actually, that's a prophecy about speaking in tongues. And people debate that, but, you know, until you get on the other side of it and do it, then you don't know the difference. I'm going to just skip down to verse 13. And it says, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. All right? In other words, the word of God will condemn you or bless you. It depends on what you are in pursuit of. But what this is basically saying is that everything has to match up, all right? Now, when we were talking about the days of Noah, one of the things that come up is, you know, the people talk about the giants was in the earth, okay? Now, I don't follow the general school of thought on that. Now, I realize that these theologians and all this folk with all this deep stuff, you know, the problem I have with it is with, let's read what Jesus said in Matthew 22:30. He's an authority over the issue. Now, people want to argue with him, they have to take that to him. But see, this is why I say that angels don't really have sexual desires. They don't have sexual organs. They don't reproduce. There are no baby angels. There are no female angels, okay, known, except for one that was this evil creature in the book of Zechariah, I believe. But anyway, but Jesus said it right here. Now, this is the deal. This is the question. The Pharisee talked about a woman that had seven married. She got married seven times. All of her husband died. So the question was, in the resurrection, who was going to be her husband? And I'm having a little trouble with my computer here. Okay. And Jesus answered unto them, you do err, what? Not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Okay? Now, the problem that I have with that, because I read Genesis. Now, let's go read Genesis 6:1. Because one of the things that I see, one of the things about the Bible is that it tends to repeat itself. What happened repeats itself. Why? Because the devil don't have a new game plan. His thing is lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's his game plan, okay? There's nothing else. It hasn't taken anything else. But it says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took the wives of which they chose. Now, and then it goes on. I want to read this in verse 3, and it says, the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive or resist his stupid, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. That was the cutoff. Now, okay, let me get to the biggie here. Verse 4 said, there were giants in the earth in those days. Also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old and renowned. Now, the general thought is that these were angels that had sex with women. And that's what you read about in the book of Enoch. Let me ask you this. But the problem is Jesus, when he used the term marriage, you understand that little paper you get is basically a property document. Okay? Your marriage license. That's something that the state charges. You notice it doesn't come with a rule book. Because they don't have one. No state office has one. No city office, no county office, federal office has one. The Bible is the only book on that. The term marry is basically, at any time you have sex with a person that you've never had before, you have married them. See, and now science have even proven that you exchange DNA. Now, if you ever seen DNA, it's not a dead substance. It's a life substance. You have to understand. See, these are things that God wants us to understand. He's understood this. Satan learned this. All right. Now, giants here, let's go back to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. And I want you to see something. I'm just something to think about, but don't waste a lot of your mind time on this. And it says in verse 26, and said to him, well, let me read for verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again. I bet she knew him more than that. And she bare him a son. Now, this is the Adam, number one Adam, the firstborn, the first created man. This is that's the Adam he's talking about. Okay? And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, she said, has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. All right. And to Seth, to him also were born a son called, and he called his name Enos. Now catch this phrase. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. I've said before that God never told anybody to start a religion, but he began to tell men, God's plan was, I'll teach the man, and the man will teach his family. So as it became men, same thing. Prophets are people that God called to spend time with him so that they can get a revelation to live. Okay? Now, in other words, God was giving them their word. Remember, they didn't have Dixon Bible books, though, back then. They couldn't go online and pull up a message. They couldn't go online, pull up a Bible. They didn't have a cell phone with a bunch. They were in the raw. They were in the so, but they did. But the revelation of God, if you don't know God, you know, like I said before, you're really in deep trouble. Because life is too complex for you to assume that it happened by accident. To me, takes more faith than it does walk on water. Now, what I'm talking about in relation to the end time is what you start to see toward the end time, toward judgment periods throughout the Bible, is the leadership began to become corrupt. Matter of fact, case in point, in the book of Samuel, First Samuel, in the first 8 chapters, which is I recommend all parents read, because in that chapter, in those 8 chapters, you find 2 men of God, Eli and Samuel. And Eli's sons were bad, and Eli was basically lazy, and his sons were bad, and God said, you and your sons are going to die. Samuel, however, attended to the things of God with zeal, and his sons were so corrupt that the children of Israel wanted a king. Well, you know, that's understandable. But Samuel had did everything that he could possibly to raise them right, teach them right, but they turned out bad. But the difference was God told Samuel, your son's going to die, but you're going to be blessed. So that's just a little FYI for parents that wonder why you did everything you could for your to make your children live right and they still acting crazy. But I tell you this, do what my mama did. My mother never looked at me and told me nothing negative about what I was doing. She would talk to me as though I was saved. I used to think she was crazy. I'm like, she must got me confused with my brother. You know, because by then I knew somebody had gave her the download on what I was doing, but she prayed all the more. See, don't take 10 hours to pray for your children. Few seconds out the day. This is what we're supposed to do because prayer helps us understand. Seeing success in prayer really encourages in the things of God. You're going to need this, and particularly now. Okay, but what I want to know, I want to get off. So if you've been looking, if you've been watching, you've been seeing all kind of craziness going on with spiritual leadership over the last 10 years. It's just been amazing. It really been amazing. I've been seeing it basically almost all the time. My business saint, you know. But it's one of these patterns, okay? Now we're going to get, it's one of the patterns of you starting to hear strange doctrines, you know. You know, I mean, people that just got all kind of beliefs. And this is what astounds me. It's when I ask them, did you ask God about that? You know, and I get this harp around. I'm like, well, that's a simple question. Listen, my pastor has over the years said things that I didn't immediately agree with. Okay? But I took it to God. And I asked him, because one thing I do know, he has a pattern. If he says something, he's got at least 5 scriptures to back it up. and the most recent one that I remember was when he said, all failure is a prayer failure. I'm like, wait a minute. Now, you know, my immediate mind came to Washington, D.C. And I came like, wait a minute. But who on this planet has the authority to intercede for Congress besides the body of Christ? Who has actual power? People like to think they got power, but we actually do. We actually do. It's been illustrated through the Bible. Now, so when what we have going on now is more deviation from the Word of God. And I'm saying if you get a church where you can see this, I would see God as to whether or not to be there. Because the one thing you want to be is in the right place at the right time when the rapture comes. You want to be doing the will of God. You know, and it would, I'm not saying immediately jump up because you're going to have to. One of the things to do is prayer, and a lot of saints got to be praying. And seeing the thing about it is a deep situation. And I know what people are facing with and challenges, you know, because it could be something, what they say, natural. It could be, your pastor could be naturally losing his mind. I don't know. Could be, he could have ate something, but he may have. It's no telling. But you really want to see God, and if God and you pray. You want to pray because tactical warfare is to attack leadership. Okay? Now, I said all that to say when you go back and you look at Genesis chapter 6, let me read that so you get it, so you have it. So it says when you had giants in the earth, not they found physical giant skulls. I ain't gonna argue with that. They just seemed to find one or two, and they said it was a family. And I know Goliath was a very large individual. I mean, the dude had to be like 9 feet tall, 800 pounds. So I ain't got no argument for that, except for this fact. How do you explain children of angels couldn't survive the flood? I mean, angels can walk on water. They can walk underwater. They're not affected by the atmospheric environments, okay? Yeah, you could say the human part of them couldn't do it because they're half-breed, but again, you're going to have to override Jesus and say that angels have a seat. Now, demon possession, that's another issue. Because nobody back then had the Holy Spirit on the inside, pretty much made anybody that was yielding could be possessed by a demon. Okay? And they had a 2,000-year period at that time, 2,000 years to study the genetics of man and to manipulate them as to the point that they could produce some of anything. I mean, we are dealing with supernatural. Okay? Now I want to fine-tune it and come back to where we are now, okay? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now these are, it speaks for itself, you know, he started out speaking for itself. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, I haven't left. I'm still here. Okay. Anyway, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meat, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. But now, this is what I'm about to read, verse 4 and 5. This is what I prayed before I took my shots, because I knew they were going to start putting these limitations on people without them. It says, for every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused. That's what people use to argue over eating pork. Let me tell you about eating pork. Ask your doctor. If your doctor say it is affecting your health, then you are held accountable to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it says, him that destroyed the temple, God shall destroy him. Him that defiled the temple. You don't have the right to self-destruct when you know it. You have to be mindful of that. You have to be mindful. You can't do something that is not good for you and then expect God to hear you. Let me make it that simple. It says, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, and that's what, you know, simple prayer is, Lord God, remove anything to present hurt, harm, or danger from this in Jesus' name. That's one of the benefits of being a Christian, and that's backed up at Mark 16:18, that if they take any deadly thing, that it shall not harm them. Because let me tell you something. The fact that Jesus used the term pestilences means that you're going to see more of them, okay? You're going to see a lot of things. So whenever they get ready to cure something, now this is, I want to make this clear, this is my own thoughts, my own perception. This is not Pastor Old's perception. This is not my pastor perception. This is not anybody you know that's human perception. I think a lot of this foolishness is just going on because, as you know, I teach training day. I think everything that's happening is either we're going to get down and do what we have to do and say what we have to say and pray like we need to pray or deal with the consequences. Now, there are going to be situations of victim of circumstances. I don't think it takes an army. It just takes enough. But you got to meet the qualification. Then again, I don't know. Some places, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, God told Lot to get out. So it is, at all costs, you need to ask God what to do, because it's going to increase. It is going to increase. Notice we get these rapid rainfalls and we get so much rain. See, any abnormal pattern in the weather, which is conducted by the prince of the power of the air, can be overcome by a saint walking in the righteousness that God gave him. Bear that in mind. Now, and not only bear that in mind, ask God, is it so? Because at the end of the day, that's the only person that you got you want to know for sure. If he says so, then you know you're good to go. God got a way to clear it up in your spirit, you know, because why give you power? Holy Ghost power is not second grade power. But because it is greater than a nuclear weapon, he can't just let you wield it without some responsibility, demonstration of some responsibility. You know, and a lot of things, people have anger management issues still, and I get that, but it's take the 10-second rule. Praise God for 10 seconds before you say something. It says, this is 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is talking, amen, helping them, not the saints, understand that. He says, this also know that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, tell me if you don't see this. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, which means no self-control, fierce. Anger management issue, people getting mad and shooting at people on the freeway, despisers of those that are good. So don't be surprised if people hate you. But understand that you got authority to command angels, okay? Learn about that. Seek God about that. Angels are, Hebrew 1:14 say they are the servants of the heirs of salvation, which is us, okay? Traitors, heady, not high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Okay? Listen, and for of this sort they are, which creep into houses and lead captive women, captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers or many lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the truth. Now, these are not people that don't read the Bible and go to church. Bear that in mind. You have to know, even the people you be around, being unequally yoked, it's more challenging if you're married to somebody like that. But you command, you got to pray over your household. And you can't pray once a month. This is a daily offense. Same thing with commanding angels. You can't command angels in January 1st and they do what they do the rest of the year. It don't work like that. And a lot of people are finding that out. They don't just do automatically. These are subjects that you, Deuteronomy 29:29, secret things of the Lord, that you are only going to get from him when he command what is called afflicting of the soul, also known as fasting. That means you want to hear God, hear God, hear God. Okay? You want to be in the spirit realm. Now, so the point I want you to get is that you're going to have a lot of shaking up going on in the church. And a lot of that right now, I'm looking at Canada. Imagine how you feel. You've been a Christian all your life, and here it is. Now, you believe in God, but you don't really understand how the power of God operated because you chose your mama's church, you know. And I mean, I'm not knocking, not attacking pastors because I pray for them. Because I pray, that's what I mean when I pray for them, the spirit of wisdom, the intellect to see things from God's point of view. See, this is the problem. Right now, democratized Christianity, meaning when you have weaned out or pulled out that which you don't think is necessary, and God knows it's necessary because it's a tool he gave you to use, and specifically more so in this day and time. One is, there is no greater power of prayer than praying in tongues, because it is the most purest prayer that can be prayed, because it is prayed by the Holy Spirit himself. Okay? Now, you have to understand who administers the Holy Spirit. And comes from Jesus. John said it, I baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me shall baptize you with fire and the Spirit of God. Listen, because that is an awesome form of power, and it supersedes anything Satan has planned. And it allows you to reach into other countries, and it allows God to reach specifically in other countries. Right now in the Middle East, they need a quick revelation. They need to be able to understand some aspects of the power of God a lot of us have never had to even consider, okay? But you'll find, I left out of my notes, out of my other notes. Anyway, you're going to need to be trying to find a word. You're going to have to be better prepared, you know. I've been seeking God about teaching on what is called the prayer of imprecation. And that is offensive use of the power of God. Now, it's situations like that is just like carrying a weapon. You can have a gun, but you can't shoot everybody for everything. And to get a weapon legally, there's criteria you have to meet. And it's the same thing with God. And I'm sure that the persons that use this power in the Bible met that criteria. Otherwise, it would not have worked. Okay? There's incidents where people that thought they had the criteria because they were, quote, religious, but they did not have the power. Because you're dealing with an entity that fully recognizes. You see, you got a Romans 1:20, one of my prime scriptures is, it said, the invisible things of him, talking about God, invisible things of him from the creation of the world can be clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead. Now, listen to what they're saying. Basically, you can see God's kingdom. You can see it in operation. And the more that you submit yourself to him in prayer, and particularly in fasting, you know, I've gone back to fasting once a week. You know, when I started out, it was where I was at church at. That was a standard, even though I did it because they did it. So I did it. But see, things have carried more authority when you know why you're doing it. I didn't know until I was studying the Word, and I found out in the Old Testament that the Word, when he talked about afflicting your soul, which is characteristic of what fasting does. If you've ever gone on a food fast, you know that as soon as you say you're going to fast, your body starts howling for food, okay? But what that does is allow you to fine-tune your spiritual ear. Understand, your spirit man is involved in all your activity. You know, and the better it comprehends that, the more you're able to do. Like, for instance, when you look at athletes that you just saw in the Olympics, their spirit had more command of their body. That's all that makes a difference. I once watched a guy, a young Japanese guy in the Olympics, weightlifting. He weighed all of 150 pounds, but he was able to squat and lift 750 pounds. Now, normally you'd expect to see a guy like 6 foot, 240, all muscle do that. But this little skinny guy did it. Why? Because this spirit commanded the power. And this is the issue that God has with us. Our spirit man, not our flesh. He wants us to understand the magnitude of our spirit man, because the spirit man is the one that faces judgment. The spirit man is the one that's a threat if it's not under submission to God. See, again, when I refer back to the man in Luke chapter 16, he wouldn't have never, today in our society, even now, I don't think it's any time in history he would have went to prison because he just didn't want to give some poor folks some money. You know, for whatever his reason is, he had a continuity. But what the difference was, at some point in time, he obviously never asked God about it. And as a result, he's got to face condemnation eternally. Because in that chapter, remember, you got two rich men. I don't want to get too far from that. All right, so we read Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. We read 2 First, okay. Let's go to the next chapter in Timothy, and that is chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, what I'm talking about is things that you've seen and are going to be seeing in these last days, okay? And basically what I'm saying is a lot of Christians, I'm going to go into that next, because, again, we're moving into the last days, and because it's going to get more challenging, and as it goes on, but it's going to all it demands is for you to just be more fine-tuned, listening to the Lord in every situation. Don't just this the days for just, well, I'm gonna take a chance on it. Can be risky, very risky. You could be at the wrong place at the wrong time, catch a stray bullet because you're unprepared. I mean, it's just that's one of the saddest events that I know of for people to have to hear about their children or experience themselves. I had a friend of mine who was standing 15 away from two guys arguing, and he caught a bullet in the head. Anyway, I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, which is the living and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Now, this is the key here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. All right? Now, here we go, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You have to have balance. You know, I would tell people I was listening to a conversation once, and they was talking about what they call prosperity preachers. And they was, you know, saying negative things. And then first I asked them, were they Christian? The ones that were Christian, I told them, you don't have no right to complain. All you can do is pray anyway. And if you don't, you're in trouble. But now, the other question was, have you listened to a whole set of that particular teaching? They usually offer 4, 5, 6 CDs. And the answer was no. Because when I listen to the whole set, this is where when I say I have a series that I call 7 Reasons for Prayer Failure. Well, this is where I learned that from. They don't just tell you, you just believe God. No, because when you listen to the other CD, they're going to tell you, if you let any kind of thing come out of your mouth, you're not going to get it. You're going to believe God and then say something, like, well, I might not get it. Maybe I get it. I don't always get it. You know, things just don't work for me that way. If your mouth is flapping against what you believe in, folks, then you ain't. If you're stealing from God, then you ain't. If you know you always fussing at your wife unnecessarily because it's in your house and it's your rules, then you say that. No, that's God's daughter, period. End of story. That's God's daughter, like it or not, okay? You're not going to receive it. Satan can block it. Listen, Satan has a demon attached to you just like God got an angel attached to you. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do, and particularly if you do not have a covenant with Jesus Christ, you ain't got nothing to argue with. So, yeah, it ain't going to work for you. It ain't. You know, you never talk to God. You cannot talk to God 7 days a week and be blessed. It just ain't going to happen. Name a relationship that you could have with anybody that you go every day and never speak to them and y'all continue in a relationship. You would automatically assume they don't like you. Why do you think God is different? He had emotions before we came into existence. That's why we exist. Angels don't have the relationship we have. They don't have the emotions we have. They know God is good. They know God is great. But they don't know what life is like we like. They don't know. They don't know what it's like, these bad days, these good days. Listen, we're a whole different type of person. We're a whole new regime. Amen. So my point is this is the key to surviving right now, you got to take time out and praise God. You know, you got to do. Clock it. I know it seemed like at first that 2 minutes is a long time, but think about how little that is out of the whole 24-hour day or the 16 hours that you might be woke. That's very little because you're going to need to get through this because challenges are going to come. See, God is going to make, when God make a promise, it's going to come, but the devil or the demons are going to make it their job to stop. See, and that's the other thing. You got to let your mind accept the reality of what you're dealing with. It is not about just this flesh. It is not about what Congress does. It's about what you do in relationship to the Word of God. And my whole point is just to help you get through this. Let's jump on this right quick. I want to go to 2 Thessalonians because we're about to come into this realm right now. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Chapter 2. My bad. I should know that by now. Man, getting all these. All right. Now, again, here's Paul, the Thessalonica. That's a city that still exists today. Anyway, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. This is the thing you have to be conscious of, because it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, and a son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, which he is not." This is talking about the Antichrist person. This is a single person, and totally guided by Satan. I've heard two thoughts of that. It's a person totally guided by a person, Satan. Is Satan himself inside of one of the man-made clone bodies that they're making nowadays. Either way it go, you don't want to get left behind, because we skip down verse 8. It says, no, I'm going to skip to verse 9. You can go back and read verse 8 on your own time. I'm trying to save time here because it's moving on. It says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish," those that have rejected Jesus, "because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." And I'm in the same mind with a certain man of God that I heard recently preach on this on the West Coast. That one, if you get left behind as a child of God, you're really in risk zone. You have to hide up in the mountains. And I don't live in no mountains, okay? You'd have to hide out in the woods, because demons then we'll have a little more leverage, and they can see that you have the Holy Spirit. They can see you a Christian just as they can see now. They look at your spirit, not your flesh. They can see inside who had that little light, this little light of man, and who does not. You go back, I believe, in Mark chapter 5, and you see when Jesus walked up, they called him, called him out. They weren't looking at his flesh. They did not have a picture of him sent ahead, you know, to them over the internet describing him. They saw his spirit, and they knew it was of God. And you'll find in Acts chapter 19 a similar situation. Some people that got to challenging a demon, and they did not have the spirit of God and got beat out of their clothes. You have various situations in the Bible like that. And then, my point here is don't get left behind, because I didn't get to it today, but maybe I just run a little over. Listen, you're dealing with something here. Peter talks about it in 2 Peter chapter 1. He uses the word pernicious. And basically, pernicious is another way of saying sneaky. He ain't going to come straight out at you and let you know you're being deceived, going to befriend you. See, I'm of the mind that part of the first half of the tribulation is going to be all happy-go-lucky, this is the blessing, this is the man, in order to deceive people. Because understand, Satan can command the stopping of evil by telling his boys to just don't do nothing. And this will give people the delusion that he got. Then on top of that, he's giving them, you see him setting up right now, that, what, half the United States in legalized marijuana? What is alcohol? What was intoxication for? To diminish your moral capacity. People do things when they get intoxicated, especially when they're overly intoxicated, that they say they regret in the morning. That's what all that's about. Expect to see more of that. Expect to see an increase of that. Okay? It's just so many things here to show. My bottom line is this, saints. Tune in. Christian that have been a Christian more than 2 years should have read at least, at minimum, the entire New Testament. What are you telling God if you don't read his word? Because what I know is based on his word, not just what I heard. See, I'm of the mind that if I can't show it to you in the Bible, you have no obligation to believe it. But let's look at the reality. You open and close your hand. You send in trillions of signals to open and close your hand to billions of cells. And they are doing exactly what you command without you even verbalizing. Right now, for me to be able to verbalize words, I got to send trillions of signals to trillions of cells to act in a coordinated manner to produce a sound. That's not just a common event. That is the spirit of man that's in me. Now, when we go into the next level, to the thousand-year reign, the limitations that like gravity has effect on my flesh, I would be able to override that at a thought, just like I can open and close my hand. I would be able to do things that are stupendous, and power like that cannot be given to a person that lusts after the flesh, go after the pride, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's all. When you look around at what people do, it's one of them three. It's one of them three. And it's coming hard at you. It's going to be coming hard at you. And if you don't have the word to anchor you down, you may wind up dealing with the retribution. See, unlike any other generation, there are, look up a message, 17 reasons why Jesus is going to return. I've never seen such coordinated between the men and women of God over this issue. You know, I mean, the only person I haven't said something that I don't listen to everything he say, I pray for him every day, and that is the Pope. Pretty soon he'll be talking about it as the last day. I believe he has said something related to that. You know, I'm praying for him that they will just make one major change to introduce the body of Christ to the reality, to the Catholic Church, you know, those that aren't already doing it, that they can pray directly to God in Jesus' name. that's 950 million people that would be mounting up war against the devil. See, that's why he don't want them to have that revelation. But Jesus said that. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name. Jesus said that. That's clear authority. See, we have to be about our Father's business right now. Like I say, I'd rather sit at home and make a trade for some money than be out driving. When I get out and drive, I had a young lady that, to me, it was just really ironic. I went out, and I wasn't intended to do that. I was, you know, and she was about to fall apart. See, we carry something that people need right now. Share the word with people. Learn as much as the word. And if you don't know enough, be in contact with somebody that knows more. Learn more. Because we are winding down. You know, where I live is blessed. I mean, we're not likely to see a hurricane. We've had one. The last one, I mean, it was like 1982. There was a land hurricane. But again, I didn't know what I know now. I hadn't heard somebody even speak on this level. Okay? But God gave us power. There's concern whether or not America will end up like Canada, where all the churches will be closed. I would be surprised if that happened. That I'd be surprised of. Because there's enough of us that understand this thing and walk this life to the point that we can go after the devil at another level. I know I can. Anyway, none of this would benefit you at all if you do not have a covenant through Jesus Christ. And God has made this so simple because he realized the magnitude of life and what it is that you are facing and that you can't make it without him. And he wants you to make it. God would actually be disappointed if you don't make it. You, by yourself, are that special to him. With God, everybody is a one-on-one relationship. So simply say this prayer. Lord God, I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe you sent him to die for our sins. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin, and I have forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I thank you, Lord, I believe it, that I am forgiven. I'm washed in the blood. I have your spirit. And now I have access to your covenant, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name. See how simple that is? You know, and people run away from that. So, listen. Be cognizant of where we are in time. Be cognizant of your authority in Christ daily. Now, next time, I believe God, I'm going to say a little bit more about angels, how you work with angels, okay? And because that's key right now. You know, for me to stop the storm from taking my power out, I command angels, and I command them in specific numbers. And I've had to experiment with this. And I found what worked and what didn't work. So, but anyway, but if you go to God, he'll tell you some things that I may not even tell you, all right? So, and with that, just remember this. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Today, said I woke up to the summer, shining through, calling on my friends, asking what's the move, feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no cloud get in my way, the only road I'm walking is the one I pick, catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful. Today. I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last,
best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I ain't gonna let it slip away. Nah, I'm gonna be joyful. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart.